Attention all runners! It's Brooks Month at Academy Sports and Outdoors. We've got a wide selection of top styles and colors from Brooks to get you moving. Visit your local store or shop online for fall favorites. Plus, get free and easy curbside pickup on academy.com orders.
Tired of long waits and rushed care at the ER and urgent care clinic? Next time, stay home and let Dispatch Health bring the power of the hospital to you.
I call Dispatch Health. A care team of medical professionals actually come to your house.
They're the same caliber of people that you would see if you were at a hospital or an urgent care.
Dispatch Health can treat most non-life-threatening emergencies.
They can do the x-rays, they can do stitches,
urinary tract infections, blood test, urinalysis, ultrasound.
It's almost everything that they can do at the ER.
You never feel rushed. They're there for you and only you.
I felt like their only patient.
And it costs no more than a trip to urgent care because Dispatch Health is covered by most insurance, including Medicare. See if we serve your home at dispatchhealth.com.
Dispatch Health really went above and beyond.
It's wonderful to have care come to your home.
House calls are back, and they're better than ever. Learn more at dispatchhealth.com.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
This is a Signal Storm podcast.
Want to alarm anybody? Well, maybe I do, but I mean, I'm not. That's not my intention. Maybe what I'm about to say will alarm you, but that's not my intention. I want to make you aware the battle going on in Europe right now. How many of you are following what's happening with Russia and Ukraine? Well, it's a pretty nasty little war, isn't it? Vladimir Putin being operated and having their strings pulled by communist China, invading, trying to gobble up more territory over there, and they're neighbor Ukraine is the unlucky recipient of Vladimir Putin's ire, I suppose. So Putin is getting his rear end handed to him. The Russian army, the Red Army, isn't what it used to be. And the Ukrainians, with a lot of help from the West, are giving them more than they can handle. In fact, the Russians, if reports are to be believed, are almost in full retreat. And in a desperate move, Vladimir Putin says, well, okay, even though we're in retreat and we're getting our butts handed to us, we're going to annex all the territory anyway. And so Ukraine says, what now? Okay, well, we are going to apply for emergency membership in NATO. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which was set up to counter the Soviet Union. Free peoples, the United States among them, joining NATO to stand up to the Iron Curtain, to the United Soviet Socialist Republics. So NATO has grown since Russia's fall. It's now 30 nations strong, although Turkey basically sides with Russia. So it's, I don't even know why the hell Turkey's in that damn alliance, to be honest with you. But anyway, so with Ukraine saying, hey, look, I think we might want to join NATO now because here's Russia, even though we're winning on the battlefield, a war we didn't even start, we're winning, and now they want to annex our territory anyway. So why am I alarmed? You may be asking yourself, what's the big deal? Well, if Ukraine, let's just say Ukraine is allowed to go into NATO. This is what Putin says he's feared all along, having a NATO country right there on his doorstep, surrounded by NATO, and with Vladimir Putin getting his butt handed to him by a lesser country, arguably, militarily speaking, he's going to be under tremendous pressure at home to pull a victory out of his hat. And crazy leaders do crazy things like deploy nukes. And of course, China's going to be prodding him to send Europe and the West into complete chaos. So this could lead to an escalation that could be World War III. Now, on the other hand, what if NATO says, no, we're not going to allow Ukraine in? Then China wanders around the globe saying, hey, look, NATO alliance crumbling. United States is weak. The West is weak. Go with the commies. We're where it's at, baby. Come with the commies. Do business with the commies. And then the new world superpower is communist China, with the United States fading into oblivion under a weak and crooked and, dare I say, traitorous Beijing Biden. Yes, stories coming out about Hunter Biden. He's going to get slaps on the wrist for what? Lying on a federal form to obtain a firearm and some other charges. No FARA violations. No criminal influence peddling, basically selling your influence and trading down American national security for your own millions. None of those charges. The DOJ leaked. The crooked DOJ leaked to the Washington Post for that bit of information so they could try to put it in their rear view mirror. Nothing to see here. Whatever. So anyway, folks, I'm just very concerned about having a weak and feckless sellout in the Oval Office and a weak and feckless sellout political party, the Democrats in charge. I'm just, look, it's just your liberty and freedom. It's just the safety and security and prosperity of our nation and your children's future that's at stake here, folks. It's just that. So I'm going to be talking with our buddy, Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is CIA trained. He knows how the chess pieces on the board are moving, and I can't get this image of a chessboard out of my head. You're seeing the forces of evil rising. You're seeing the forces of good slowly rise, and where does it all lead? We'll get into it next on the Salcedo Storm Podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Does the state of the economy have your head spinning? Let American Medical Plans relieve one burden, health insurance. American Medical Plans specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays and no deductibles. You choose your doctors, you choose your hospitals. These plans have nothing to do with your income and are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. You deserve better. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
The establishment media is out of touch with the real things real Texans care about. Real news for real Texans. That's what Texas Scorecard does every day. Learn more and subscribe for free. TexasScorecard.com/Chris.
So I mentioned the chessboard and where everything fits on the world stage geopolitically. A guy who knows a heck of a lot more than I do about all of this because he's trained in it. A retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, CIA trained, former senior intelligence officer, and New York Times bestselling author. He's a Newsmax contributor and senior fellow with both the London Center for Policy Research and the Center for Advanced Defense Studies. Colonel, welcome back.
Hey, well, good morning, Chris, and I appreciate the introduction, but always remember, I have a team that's with me doing stuff. So as much as I appreciate your crediting me with understanding strategic thought, I do have a whole team that actually helps think this through. We try not to work in a vacuum, unlike certain people I know in the White House. So There you go.
Well, you know what? First off, folks, and I should actually add that to his bio. He's very humble as well.
Thank you, Chris.
Let's game out Vladimir Putin's moves to illegally annex parts of Ukraine, which in turn led to Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, asking for emergency admittance into NATO. Your thoughts?
So there's two pieces, obviously, to what Putin's trying to accomplish. He's trying to essentially establish a permanent presence with the ability to exploit the oil-rich resources in the Donbas region and within those four provinces. So that's what they're trying to do. To do that, he's got to basically squelch the current conflict. I mean, you and I both know, you know, it's hard to bring people in who can sit down and build wells and build systems to transport stuff if you're under fire constantly. So Putin wants to have this thing kind of wrapped up. That's why you see them kind of moving towards the idea of negotiations. Zelensky recognizes what I just mentioned. It's like, no, the Russians now want to solidify this. This could mean and will mean the partition of Ukraine, if Zelensky cannot find resources to essentially keep the Russians under pressure, under military pressure, and try to resist the permanent annexation of those provinces. So those are the two sides. With Putin, part of this has to be, how much is he willing to continue to contribute to this cause? That's part two of the Putin equation. How much is he willing to spend on continuing to hold that terrain? And Zelensky has the same thing, but the Zelensky problem is he doesn't know where those forces are going to come from. Putin has adequate military reserves to really push him in there to try to do more to push back on Ukraine. Ukraine doesn't. And that's why you saw Zelensky do the emergency application to NATO. Essentially, Chris, what Zelensky wants now is boots on the ground. He needs hard military forces trained and capable of going in and fighting Russia, which means, ta-da, World War III. Mm-hmm. That's what he's pushing for. And that's why they're trying to get NATO involved. And I think that's why you're going to see the potential for more provocations to try to up the ante and increase the amount of tension so that essentially some spark could well light that off.
Well, and so then that begs the question. Also, I think Zelensky is motivated to, if Zelensky has a push into Russia, if all of a sudden this adventurism of Vladimir Putin leads to, even if it's a small incursion into Russian territory, which most people around the world will go, dude, you earned that. You invaded another country, and now they push back on you, and now they're invading yours. The world, except for China, for political reasons, wouldn't condemn that. But talk about Putin's undermining of his support at home if all of a sudden Russia finds itself on defense, even in a small part of that country. Do you think Zelensky could make that push?
So I think he'd like to. And I think, honestly, they have done offensive operations. The Ukrainians have done minor incursions and some pretty severe attacks against the Russians in different areas since the war started. And rightly so. I cannot condemn the Ukrainians for going back and trying to hit fuel depots and staging areas and airfields, all that. They have the right to do that. But remember, Chris, this is one of the notable features of the Russian army, the Soviets, if you will, because so much of the Soviet seems to be coming back out.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians have never done well when they're basically doing expeditionary things. That is to say that, you know, during the Cold War, they would send troops all over the world. They never did well. You know, Angola, Mozambique, all these other places where they had Russians doing things, they just don't do well when they're expeditionary. But, boy, there's nothing more severe in capacity than the Russians on defense, as we saw during World War II. If you do things to really get the Russian bear up, they can be very effective. So, well, I think Zelensky would have that right to go into Russia, and I think they have done incursions. The idea of a full-blown military conflict where you have a major force going to gain and hold terrain in Russia or Russia territories would be a different game. And I think this is where there's a real potential, if you will, for the United States to do proper counter-propaganda, effective messaging to the Russian people. Because I think there's ways we can get around. Heck, we did during the Cold War. We got around Soviet propaganda and got to the Russian people.
Yeah.
And you have an opportunity right now to kind of do that again to the Russian Republic people around Putin to say, look, what you're doing is wrong. You're going to end up causing the demise of the Russian Republic if you continue your incursion. But the moment Zelensky or allies of Zelensky are able to mount an effective invasion, if you will, or expansion of the war into hard Russian territory, I think the psychological view of the Russian people changes dramatically, and they may well be willing to actually invest more in military operations behind Putin.
Yeah, so it may not undermine Putin's case. It may right. actually bolster it. You know, and if there was a leader in the West, there would be discussions now of forfeiture of Crimea, forfeiture of the
right.
territory captured
right.
in Georgia as punishment for Russia right. trying to harm its neighbors if we had leadership in the West, and we don't. So, Colonel, then there's right. then there's option B. There's option B where NATO says, nope, sorry, not going to allow you in, Ukraine. And then that is a PR win, not only for Vladimir Putin, but his benefactor, Communist China. Tell the folks why.
So this is a, as you said, it's kind of like, it's a lose-lose. I mean, you know, full disclosure, you know, we've spoken about this, and I hope you don't mind me disclosing. I mean, I think it's something that your audience really needs to hear about. The fact is, it's a lose-lose for us and them. I mean, it's just, there's no win there for NATO and the United States, because that very point has been, it will be very clear. And I think it's very likely to go that way. Here's why. The Ukrainians are essentially the money laundering capital of Europe. Mm-hmm. They still are, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, there's all sorts of corruption. Chris, there's reasons why they never applied, because they were told, for NATO membership, there was reasons why they never were. They were corrupt, and everybody knew it. And they knew that any application to NATO would require extensive scrutiny of their military and government activities. They didn't want that, because they knew what would follow. Well, so now in this desperation, Zelensky's made this application, and that corruption hasn't gone away. And when you look at Turkey, Turkey's against the NATO membership.
Well, they're in Russia's back pocket.
Scandinavian countries are against it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it has to be a unanimous vote. Everybody has to vote in favor of them joining. So I just don't think NATO has the stomach, especially with Article 5 saying if one is attacked, we all have to respond. They're not going to have the stomach to bring Ukraine in and then expose NATO to the requirement that they go on the offensive against Russia. It's just not going to happen. And, of course, as you mentioned rightfully, your assessment is completely correct, the people who benefit out of that are going to be Russia, and it's going to be China. And China's going to make a lot of hay out of it. They're going to point out this is a weakness. They're going to point out all the weakness of the West, and this is going to be interpreted by China as the United States still being completely weak and unable to manage its allies. That's the way that they're going to play it to their people. That's the way they're going to play it propaganda-wise to the world.
Right. Join China, because the West is in decline. Look at who they have.
Exactly.
Look at who they have in charge of the United States, a mentally deficient, incapacitated individual. Retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is our guest right now, folks. He's a Newsmax contributor and knows of what he speaks, CIA trained as he is. The Chechen henchman, the guy who runs Chechnya, is encouraging the use of low-yield nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
What do you make of this push by China, by Russian allies, to use limited-range tactical nukes?
Well, this would be a paradigm shift big time, because the first and last time nuclear weapons were used in an actual military conflict was by the United States in 1945,
yep.
Two drops of very rudimentary weapons against Japan. So there's been essentially, Chris, a moratorium self-imposed by all nuclear nations to basically not do these things. So that's the first thing, is to wrap your head around the fact that a nuclear weapon would be used on the battlefield is significant. That's why they're saying it. Now, doing it is completely different. The first thing that presents itself is like, what are you going to drop it on? Because the moment you drop one of these things, there's all sorts of secondary effects. Electromagnetic pulse takes out the power grid or electronic components in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Radiation regarding fallout. All these things come up. So I think it's like torture. The idea of torture is much more effective than torturing someone. And I think this idea of a nuclear weapon being used is much more severe and effective as a concept rather than practical application. So my assessment is it's blustered. Not to say they wouldn't do it if there's a specific target, but the secondary effects, secondary order effects, are something that people have to think through. So say they decide, oh, we're going to make a point. Well, again, what do you blow up? Do you blow up a population center? Do you blow up an enemy staging area? The moment you do that, you actually do get the potential of NATO doing something more severe.
True.
And remember, Chris, during the Cold War, we, the United States, won the Cold War by doing a lot of little things behind the scenes, deception operations, counter-deception operations. Those things aren't really going against the Russians right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment you do drop something, say you do, you're going to have a lot more of those little guerrilla activities going against you behind the scenes that nobody admits to. Something like attacking a pipeline, just saying. as those sorts of things do come up in unconventional warfare. So my prediction would be if they decide to do it, they probably do it against a military target, probably a military staging area that would be away from population centers but available to take out essentially a large chunk of forces. And then they have to prepare for, again, a widening
conflict
scope of the overall conflict, because that will change everything. And it would be something that once you get that genie out of the bottle, there's no putting it back. And if you open that door, other countries may then consider nuclear weapon use as well. So it's a bad thing, but I don't know if they'd actually have the ability to do it.
And humankind has been turning around from that possibility. But also consider this, folks, that this area that Putin would be bombing, he wants to be able to exploit
it. Exactly right.
And not to mention, it's so close to his own border that the potential for nuclear fallout going into Russia and harming Russians, I mean, it would be, that's the number one reason why many experts say that he's not going to do this, because it's too close to home, number one. Number two, he wants that region intact. He wants to be able to exploit it, not have it irradiated for, you know, decades to come.
One of the things to remember, Chris, is that they, like us, have exercised the worst-case scenario. Once you use this, if you decided to use it on a target outside of his control, say a NATO target,
right?
That's a slippery slope. There's no scenario we've ever exercised where a tactical nuclear weapon does not result in a full-blown strategic exchange in the end of the exercise. Just saying that these things we're just going to drop one nuke. It always expands rapidly to the point of where we're having intercontinental ballistic missiles going back and forth with each other. It's just inevitable, I believe, if that happens.
It is the worst parts of every science fiction /
exactly.
It's bad. It's just nothing but bad. Folks, we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, a CIA-trained Newsmax contributor, and you mentioned the pipeline. So, look, I don't know who sabotaged that Nord Stream pipeline between Russia and Europe, but the idea, and I have some guy pestering Newsmax and pestering me and other hosts on Newsmax on Getter saying, oh, Tucker said it could never be Putin. It could never be Putin. And look, I don't know who it was, but the idea that it couldn't be Putin and the fact that Putin is getting backstopped with American money laundered through communist China, paying for energy that China needs and wants, is absurd. And idiots like this guy on Getter, or girl, because they won't identify themselves, the idea that Putin couldn't have sabotaged his own pipeline is absurd, is it not?
It is, and this is where, I always encourage people to study history. History does not repeat itself, but it draws heavily from previous examples. And to think that a leader like Putin, who is not he has engaged in what I would term false flag operations before. There's a lot of belief that during his time working for Boris Yeltsin, he prompted a lot of the activities to include bombing apartment complexes in Moscow to prompt a severe reaction requiring security forces that he was in charge of.
And that was the Chechen rebels, right?
There's some pretty good evidence he did that. If Putin's willing to blow up his own citizens in an apartment complex in Moscow, do you really think he would hesitate about blowing up a pipeline where nobody's injured? I just, people need to think this through. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. And when you know you're not going to lose anything because China is already pulling your strings. It's funny. The United States is operating at the behest of the communist dictator, and so is Russia. It's very, very weird. Okay, Colonel, I laid out this scenario of World War III. We've been tap dancing around that the entire interview. The scenario of World War III and where the American left is on this. And I have said that it is very much consistent with Democrat thinking that the Constitution is their enemy, freedom is their enemy, liberty is their enemy. So the scenario that we have seen play out in World War I, World War II, is that the West has come out on top and it has led to a stable world, a more free world, and a more prosperous world. I think our ideological adversaries, and this includes the Democrat Party in the United States, it includes Communist China, Vladimir Putin, those who are among the worldwide left, the dictators, the socialists, the communists, in a conflict of World War III caliber, where you have a weakened West under a demented leader of the United States, under an emotionally compromised Europe, where the victor could very well be the communist world, and a world where the lone superpower is a communist power. This is what I believe our adversaries here in the United States are gunning for. Where are we in United States military superiority? Are we 15, 10, 5 years ahead of our next competitor, which is China?
So let me frame this a little bit to give your audience a background so they can check on yourselves. There's a video on YouTube called Countdown to Looking Glass, and it goes through the very scenario you're talking about where we end up surrendering before even a nuclear exchange of significance happens. And, yeah, I think the left wants this conflict. And the basic premise of that is to basically change the very fabric of the global world order. And build back better. Boy, there's no better way to build back better if you destroy everything first, right, Chris? I mean, that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they believe, they have this wrongful belief that they will come out on top and have the political upper hand on everyone. They'd rather rule over rubble than actually have a functioning society that benefits everybody. And that's it may be a very severe thing for me to say, but I do believe that's what their attitude is. Now, to our capacity, the United States... Chris, how many people do you know drives a 1979 Ford Pinto? Do you know anybody who drives a Ford Pinto?
No. I remember somebody, my grandparents used to, but it's no longer.
Well, there you go. That's my point. Our nuclear technology is that of the era of the 1979 Ford Pinto. That's how old it is. And we've not invested in maintaining a nuclear weapons capacity that's equal to or a bit more than the Russians. We have the same. The warhead count is based on treaty requirements, but we've never invested. As a matter of fact, there was a debate years ago that I was part of called for the reliable replacement warhead, dial-a-nuke. Left stopped us from doing that. Any effort to modernize our nuclear forces has been met with severe response from the left. They don't want us to have an effective force. So the answer is we're going to have to go to war potentially with a force that was designed for the 1970s. You know, leisure suit. People were still wearing leisure suits when the last real effort was made to modernize nuclear forces.
Wow,
and this is not good.
Well, what about
convention?
That's
one of the things Donald Trump has said he would change, fix, and he was working on.
I know.
Chris is one of the things they were working on when he was in office. But if, you know, you got to get folks to give them money to do things. But so we're disadvantaged when it comes to this, and I think what we have would be used effectively and by the most part. But then part two of that, Chris, is the woke military. The Army just missed its recruitment goals by 15%.
Yep.
I'm sorry, 25%.
Yep.
The Air Force is suffering issues with pilots. So those very things that we have, which are outdated, may not function the way they're designed because we may not have the personnel or command structure to effectively use it. So it's a lose-lose again for what we're talking about.
Well, nuclear forces aside, and again, I want to hearken to a movie that probably everybody in the audience has seen, Top Gun Maverick, where this was a not-so-subtle wink and a nod, letting Americans know that we are woefully behind, that our enemies and adversaries are already on fifth, sixth generation aircraft, and we're still reliant on F-18s, which are not up to par, which cannot compete. And so my question was, absent a nuclear exchange in our nuclear forces, which you've adequately pointed out, Colonel, are woefully inept to handle what we need them to handle. What about conventional forces, our air superiority, and our military superiority from the Army and the Marines?
Right. So on the conventional side, we still have dominance in that we have an amazing Navy that can project power rapidly. The F-18 Super Hornets are good for most roles. But to your point, no, we do not have the latest generation fighters that can go up and duke it out with some of the latest Russian and Chinese aircraft. And that'd be a problem because obviously If you're talking the Navy has aircraft carriers. China is counting on us sending our aircraft carriers out so they can promptly sink them and diminish our ability to project power. That's what the plan is. And without adequate aircraft, for those who study World War II, aircraft carriers were the key to U.S. victory in the Pacific. That, there's no doubt about that. And the Chinese know that.
Right.
So this is something we should be investing a great deal more in to make sure that those carriers can be protected. And you need really good aircraft and countermeasures to do that. A lot of us are skeptical of that.
Look,
we're at a very low level regarding ground forces for the military. Again, the military, the Army did not make its recruiting goals. And those affect us downstream. If we're not getting enough now, will affect us in about a year because it takes time to get people trained and everything else. So, again, our ability to project force, I participated in something called Reforger, return of forces to Germany during the mid-80s, where we would exercise on an annual basis our ability to project power back into Europe. Of course, we couldn't do that now because everything we have has been diminished. And so the conventional forces, either in the Pacific or Europe, are not seen as credible to the adversaries of Russia and China at this point. And that's just the way it is.
Well, folks, the new motto of the Democrat Party comes from John Milton, better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven.
Yeah.
And that is their guiding spirit. So if you want to know why America can't project power and why America can't keep our Constitution in force, why America is on defense, all you need do is look at the Democrat Party and the Republicans who want to surrender to it. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, CIA trained and a Newsmax contributor, sir, appreciate the time and the service to the country.
Well, Chris, I always appreciate your amazing questions and great discussion. So thanks for having me.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Head on over to two websites, if you will. First off, TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. You go there, find out all the news that's impacting Texas. And if it impacts Texas, it's going to impact the United States. Plus, head on over to ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you can find an email, a voicemail for me. You can find out how to book me for a speech. You can track down the Chris Salcedo shows on Newsmax, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5 o'clock Monday through Friday, and on AM 700 KSEB in the mornings on radio, The Voice of Texas. There's an app for that, so you can hear it all over the country. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government, rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. See ya.